Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, I want you to swear to me. Vayishav lo, and he swears to him. Vayishtachu Yisrael Reish Hamita, and he bows down to Reish Hamita. If you want to know what this means, what does it mean the Reish Hamita? There's no way in the world you know what does a mita mean? Like your bed, you have a king size bed, a twin size bed, I don't even different mattresses. There's no way to know what this means unless you go to the Museum of the Living Torah, to Rabbi Deutsch's museum, and he will show you how they slept in Egypt. He'll show you what a mita is, and then he'll show you the Reish Hamita, and then you can understand what it means. He bowed down al Reish Hamita. Unless you actually see a bed in Egypt, from Egypt, these words don't make any sense whatsoever. What does this mean? You have nowhere better to bow down but on the Reish Hamita. What does a mita look like? It looks like our beds. Like you go into 1-800 mattress. What's the Reish Hamita? It means you have to. I don't remember. Many years ago, Rabbi Deutsch was explaining what it is. He was explaining
you
what
said it was like. Was it like a little round thing? You put
it was a headrest. It was like a headrest. He said. I don't know exactly. I think he has in his museum. They actually have a bed. Maybe you can Google it. They have a bed. The way they slept in Egypt is very unique. It's not the way we sleep today. A whole different psychology. There's a lot of chokhmah in the position of your body when you sleep, and the type of material you sleep in, and the height. There's an enormous amount of chokhmah that goes into sleeping. If we were to sleep the way we're supposed to sleep, we would be very well rested, we'd be very healthy. We have a whole different lifestyle if we knew how to sleep properly, but we don't. But they did. In Egypt, they knew how to sleep, and they had a different type of bed that we wouldn't believe. And when you know what kind of bed they had, then we could appreciate what it means, see al Reish Hamita. But unfortunately, we do not. So we really have no way of understanding what this means. Now let's take a look over here in Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Lamed Aleph says, Rashi, they have a long Rashi. Vayishtachu Yisrael ta'ola bi'idonei sogeid lei. A fox in his time bowed down to him. So in other words, what are we saying over here? Yaakov Avinu was the lion. We're comparing Yaakov to Yosef. Yaakov, relative to Yosef, was a lion. Yosef was a fox. And over here, the lion is bowing down to the fox. Why? His time has come. Every person has their day, their moment in the limelight. And now it was the time of Yosef, and therefore Yaakov Avinu was bowed down. Now, obviously, there's a lot more in this Rashi, which I don't know. Let's go further. Al Reish Hamita, Hofach Atzma Letzad Shechina. Rashi over here is obviously very disturbed what this means. Okay, I told you about Rabbi, what was his name? I forgot his name right there. Deutsch, who has the Living Torah Museum, he shows you Alderch Pshat, on a very basic, simplistic Pshat, what this means, Al Reish Hamita. But for us, who has no clue what this means, Rashi is coming to give us a homiletic interpretation, because what does this mean? You bow down on the Reish Hamita. These words cannot even be translated. It makes
sense. Remember, Yaakov was sitting in the, was lined on the bed?
Al Reish Hamita. What does this mean here? What does this mean? This makes no sense whatsoever. There's no way you could fadrei this al derech pshat based upon what we think a bed is. If you take a modern bed from the 21st century and you have a person lying in a bed and he wants to go bow down to his son, and so he bows in al Reish Hamita, what? What does that mean? Rashi therefore says, it means something homiletic. It means Hafach Atzma Litzad Hashchina. He turned his body Litzad Hashchina. Chazal tells us the Shchina rests Lamala Merashoisav Shel Choyle. When a person is lying in this bed dying, the Shchina is there. It's a very incredible thing. The Shchina, why is the Shchina there? I don't know. Obviously, death is a very spooky moment. There's a lot said about this. People who die, the moment of Yitzias Neshama, when a person leaves this world, it's the people in their vicinity observing the Yitzias Neshama. They will tell you that it's something supernatural. There is definitely a presence of divinity that is there, accepting the neshama leaving the body. If you walk into a room of Baruch Hashem, healthy people, the way it should be, the Shechina is not present. The Shechina is present in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, there are different madregot of Shechina, But when the average person leaves this world, there is some type of acceptance of the neshama from the Shechina. And the Shechina is there waiting to accept that neshama. And where is the Shechina located? So it's a Gemara. The Gemara says that the Shechina is resting above, Rashi quotes right over here, Shechina, right over here in the words, Shechina lamala me ra shaysav shal choyle. The Shechina is resting above the head of the choyle. Therefore, Rashi is now taking this and reading this into the pasuk. Over here, mita means he's dying. Mita means Yaakov Avinu is not just lying down on a bed. He's in the ICU, on a special bed that for the people that are leaving this world. Rosh means his own head. His own head. The Shechina is resting above the head of a choyle. Yaakov Avinu, he is bowing al Rosh HaMita. This is an expression. This is something which is homiletic, something which is not to be taken literally. But the word mita again means that he's dying. Rosh HaMita means the Shechina is above his head, waiting to accept his neshama. And Yaakov Avinu, when he's making a shvua, he's bowing down to the Shechina. It does not mean a bed, a person lying down on a physical bed, a water mattress, king-size water mattress. Not what it means here. And Rosh does not mean the headboard. It means his head, the head of Yaakov Avinu. Amita means acknowledging that he is about to leave this world, because a person that is very ill is typically, it's a metaphor for death. Dovar acher al Rosh HaMita. What does this mean? Another interpretation, al shachisa mitosa shlema. Mita again is not to be taken literally. This it's a metaphor. Children, he's thanking Hashem. Rosh shlema v'lochaya ba rasha shor yosef melachaya v'oyt shen she nishba lebein ha'goyim. He was captured. Varehu oymed b'tzidkai. Now the words of Rashi are a little bit bizarre, but the basic idea over here is that the word mita over here in this interpretation means mita means that it means as children. Obviously, we can understand why a mita means children, because that's where they come from, a child, a husband and wife, and roish in this context, according to Rashi, means complete. It's a very unusual translation. Roish means the best. Okay, roish hachodesh zeh lechem roish chodoshin. The word roish in this context here means shlemus. And he's coming to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that here my son Yosef, here he is, he's coming here to me as I'm dying, and he's promising, he's taking a shavua, that he will fulfill my will. Now this is very interesting, because Yaakov lived in the Mitzrayim for 17 years, and if you want to read between the lines of Rashi, it's almost as if Rashi is telling us that Yaakov didn't really trust Yosef. He didn't really know who was Yosef. Yosef was away from him for 22 years, and now he's not exactly sitting in Kol Chazanish learning. He's running a country. He's in charge of this violent country called Egypt, which the Pasuk describes as the Erva Saaretz, and he's in charge. What kind of person is he? What kind of activities is he engaging in every day in dealing with all of these people? And you almost get the impression that Yaakov Avinu suspected Yosef was not all that he appeared to be. He was away for 22 years all alone. I mean, well, what could have been 22 years? How could a person remain righteous for 22 years with no social pressure, with absolutely no Yiddishkeit, and everyone in this land was corrupt and was lewd? And now for 17 years he's involved in all of these activities? What's going on here? It seems that now, at the very, very end, after Yaakov Avinu observing him for 17 years and having this conversation where he tells him, I want you to take my body out of Egypt, and Yaakov and Yosef makes a shavua, he takes an oath, somehow, maybe you can read between the lines, between the words, that Yaakov Avinu got an appreciation that Yosef is indeed the real deal. He is not a phony. There is nothing fake about him. And it is now, for the first time, that Yaakov Avinu accepts that indeed, mitosoi shalema, that every single one of his children is a tzaddik. Again, those are al shachaisa mitosoi shalema v'lochoye barasha, What's the word v'oid? I don't know why Rashi has said v'oid. What does this mean over here? V'oid. Shenishba leben hagoyim, he was captured. V'arehu oimed b'tzed koyin, he remains righteous. There's obviously a lot in that Rashi, which I don't know. For now, we're going to leave that. But lemaskana, so what have we learned over here so far in the Rashi? We've learned a very powerful yisoy that when it says over here, v'yishavu levayishtachu yishol resh hamitah, from our perspective, in the 21st century, there's absolutely no way we can possibly make any sense of these words. To bow down on the top of the bed, unless you go to Rabbi Deutsch's museum, the Living Torah Museum, where he will show you what kind of beds they slept in the time of Egypt, then maybe we can make sense out of this al-derech pshat. But Rashi's not going that way. Rashi tells us the word mita is either, the first pshat is a metaphor for dying. A dying man lies in a mita, and Rosh is where it represents the person's own head, upon which is the Shechina, waiting to accept his neshama, and Yaakov is bowing to the Shechina. And Yaakov, in the second interpretation of Rashi, mita is a metaphor for children. Rosh means, Rosh here has to be understood to mean shleimim. Yisrael, he is bowing to Hashem in Hakar Satoiv, that all of his children are tzaddikim. And it took him 17 years to accept, to acknowledge that indeed Yosef is a tzaddik. Seemingly until now, he was not fully confident that he was a tzaddik. Now let's see over here the Targum. Targum Paslavana Vamar. Yaakov says to Yosef, Kayemli. Kayem is the word the Targum uses to translate make a shvua. Vekayemli. He made a shvua. Usegeid Yisrael, now he bowed al Resh Arsa. The less.
Yaakov Avinu never knew that they had sold him, right?
Well, seemingly not. We don't really know anything. The truth is, we don't really know. The simple understanding is he did not know. That is the simple understanding.
Even at the end, they lie. They say,
Avichot Tziva Lemar. Your father commanded Lemar that you should be good to us. Correct.
Right.
There's a lot of mystery. There's a lot of intrigue, a lot of mystery. There's a lot that's not said.
Because it is what we're saying now, that Yaakov thought all his kids were that they didn't accept Yosef.
Oh, so you're saying very good. You're making a dig now.
And it was really the opposite.
Right, you're saying very good. So the first of all, it's not so simple to say, just because they made a mistake, even though the mistake is massively large, that takes away from them being tzaddikim. Maybe they did teshuva.
Yeah, but we just said with Lipish Melzer, they would have said we made a mistake. Did they ever say they made a mistake?
That's a big debate. You have a big machloikis. No one knows. I've seen over the years all different interpretations. Some said for sure. Some say definitely not. Listen, I don't know. Let's go further. It's a big mystery. It's a very, very... It does not say anywhere exactly what happened during these 17 years. There's a very long time. 17 years is a very long time. They obviously had a lot... You have to assume there was a lot of conversation between the father, the brothers, and Yosef. Well, either Sarah and did nothing. They must have spoken. They must have thought about it. They must have a conversation. Things must have been said. For whatever reason, the Torah chose not to tell us what happened. For whatever reason. And we really honestly do not know if they ever confessed. We don't know. Did Yaakov Avinu find out? Did he know? We don't know. Let's go further. Next pasuk, next section, new section. Mem perek mem ches. Vayhi acharei do adra v'ela. It was after these words, Vayim el Yosef. It was said to Yosef, Hinei avicha choyle. Now, right away, we have to appreciate that Rashi just said one moment ago that Yaakov was already sick. Rashi interprets, Al Rosh HaMita, the word Mita is a metaphor for a dying person. Rosh is a metaphor for the Shechina that is resting upon the head of a dying person. So, what is it now? The Pasuk seems to say, Hinei. The word Hinei always, with B'li Yoytse Menaklal, means the unexpected. The unexpected. What do you mean the unexpected? In the previous pasuk, it says that he was sick. It says Rosh Amita, and Rashi tells us the Shechina is Meira Shosav of a Choyle. So look, we just read the Rashi. Rashi says couldn't be Moshe Shechin Lamaila Meira Shosav Shel Choyle. Who's the Choyle here? Yaakov. All of a sudden, guess what? Hinei Avi Choyle. Excuse me. Hinei Avi Choyle. Hinei means the unexpected. This never happened before. It sure did happen before. So what's going on over here? I honestly don't know. But there is something going on here. We have to take a look at this. Vayikach, he took a Shneva Navimo, his two sons. Who are his two sons? Es Menashe v'es Ephraim. Why is that necessary? We know he had two sons. The Torah only told us he has two sons already five times. Why the need for the repetition? Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Vayoymer li Yosef. Who told Yosef? Mi hu zeh. Who's the one that told Yosef that your father was sick? Echad min ha-magidim. One of the magidim. Okay, Rav Shom Shadron. A magid. Pesach Kron. The magid of America. He's the one that told Yosef, Echad, this is a very bizarre expression. Echad min ha-magidim? What does that mean? Well, since when does Rashi write such a nusach? One of the magidim. Who's a magid? A magid? It's like a storyteller? I don't know. I know you'll tell me. It just means one of the people who spoke, who told. Very, very.
Listen, Yosef was the
viceroy. He was busy.
And he had spies in the house of his father.
Oh, so you're saying a vark. You just said a mouthful. You're saying something they never taught us in kindergarten, that Hamagidim means a spy. A spy, the NSA, the KGB, the Chinese, they went and they sent him a special text. Your father is saying, Echa min ha-magidim, you're saying the word magidim means a spy. Very interesting. It takes a certain type of mind to think like that. Mayor, what have you been doing lately? Okay, I don't know what this means. Let's see. I mean, obviously...
You know what magidim means? Magidim is the old word for Zoom. They had a Zoom attachment.
A what attachment?
Zoom.
Zoom?
Zoom. There was a Zoom camera.
Yeah.
And that was called a Magidim.
I thought you said... it was a Magid Shia. A Magid Shia. Yeah.
Communication. A Magid.
You know, all right.
Sifrei Chacham adds. The Sifrei Chacham, if you look at it,
yeah.
Rashi.
Yeah.
Adds that the Lashon Magid.
Yeah.
Is the same as Vayomer. Chat. Because up to then, Yaakov had never been sick. Mistam, somebody in his house, one of the B'nai Besa, who was attendant, usually was Ephraim.
So Rashi explains. Rashi goes on to explain that.
That's why the word Vayaged is not used. According to Sifrei Chachamim, he has a comment on the Rashi. Shapirish Vayomer Kamo Vayaged. Ki Chol Chadoshis Neifel Loshin Agoda Veloy Loshin Amira. Ki Masha Yaakov Chol Kodem Misa Hayachidish Ba'olam. He was never sick till he came down to Mitzrayim. Why doesn't it say Vayaged? Why doesn't it say? The word Vayomer means Vayaged, so why doesn't it say Vayaged?
Yeah.
That's the interpretation of the Sifrei Chachamim. He raises a question. He says, because the person who probably told Yosef, to him it was no Chiddush. So it was somebody who was used to Yaakov and he was aware of his illness. So, according to the Chacham, the words mean the same thing.
Okay, I know. Okay, al derech pshat, the Sifrei Chacham is always wearing derech pshat. But I mean, there's something more. It's very, first of all, as far as no one got sick, I didn't remember. I just asked a question. The Rashi before said, I'm aware of that, but the Rashi before said clear as day that he was sick. Shashchina lamaila merashoysev shel choyle. So, he was already sick. I know. Also, there's a famous medrash that the first one in the world to get sick was Yaakov Avinu. Until Yaakov Avinu, people just dropped dead on the spot. And Yaakov Avinu, so this is not a good idea. People need to put their home in order. They need time to slowly fade out so they can make all of the arrangements. They can appoint a successor. They can do everything they need to do. They can make a will. So Yaakov Avinu was mispalled by Kadosh Baruch Hu. People should just not die suddenly. They should die gradually. And Hashem said it's an excellent idea. And we're going to start with you. You're going to be the first person to get sick. That's what it says in the Medrash. I accept all of this, but I'm still pointing out that the word Magidim is still a Rashi is saying something here which is more than meets the eye. Let's go further. It's not telling us who told him. A person told him. Who was this person? An unknown person. As Chazal say, it was Rashi Yesh Oimim Ephraim Hoya Rogel Lufne Yaakov B'Talmud. Now this is a fasting Chazal because it doesn't say this anywhere in the pasuk that Yaakov, that Ephraim would come every day to learn with Yaakov. Menashe was busy working. Ephraim was the Talmud Chacham. He was sitting and learning with Yaakov. And Uchshachole Yaakov Eretz Goshen. Holach Ephraim Eitzel Aviv Lemitzrayim Lehagid Loi. So the Echad Min HaMagidim, this was Ephraim himself. Vayikach, now Yaakov goes as Shnei Vanav Imo, Kidei Sheyivorechem, Yaakov Lefnei Moisai. Just like Yitzchak. Yitzchak gave the brachos to Yaakov. So he wanted a repeat performance. But notice the difference. The difference when Yitzchak was about to die, it was Yitzchak who initiated the blessings. Here, when Yaakov is about to die,
Yitzchak gave it some 30 years before he died.
Okay, but still, when he was about to die, Hinei Anochi, what do you say, Zokain, I don't know when I'm going to die, I want to give brachas. Who's the one who initiated the brachas? The giver. Here, who's the one that's initiating the blessings? The takers. Okay, Kidei Sheyivorechem Yaakov Lefnei Moisai. Why didn't Yaakov say, you know, I'm getting sick, I'm getting ill, I'm going to die soon. Maybe I want you to come, I want to give brachas. No, Yaakov wasn't going to give any brachas. The one that came, they came to get brachas. It's like the 21st century. We go to get brachas. We go and we run, we line up for brachas. No one's coming to give us brachas. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is not coming to give us brachas. We have to go to him to get the brachas. Okay, let's look over here in the Targum. It says over in the Targum. The Targum over here in this Pasuk says, Pasuk Aleph, Vahava, it was Bosar Piskomayo Hilein. That's Achar Hadvarim Ha'ele. Okay, the word Davar usually means, it means the Piskom. After these matters, what matters? I assume we're referring to what we just read above, Alderch Pshat, after Yosef made a shavua, took a shavua that he will bury Yaakov Avinu in the land of Canaan. Vava bosar piskamayo hilein, v'amar li Yosef, ho, it was said to Yosef, ho avuch mera. Okay, a shechiv mera. In the Gemara we have that term all the time, a person that's lying in a bed, mera. Mera means from evil. Rosh mera means he's going to die. Udvar yos Terein, Udvar means he led. It's an unusual word. The word is Vayikach. To say Dvar is not the typical translation of Vayikach. We'll see in a moment. Yos Terein Bino, his two sons, Imei with him. With him. Why with him? Imoi. Okay, with him. Who? Yos Menashev, Yos Ephraim. Now let's see what it says here in the parish. Merah. What does the word Merah mean? Chole. The makom shekasov shechiv mera, ein perush mera machmaschoy, ein perush mera machmaschoyli, v'tia ois mem makom min v'mila raya perush choyli dezeinoi. The targum mera ois mem. What are you saying over here? I'm not sure what he's saying. Let's go further. I'm not sure what he's saying over here. One second. V'ois mem isa mila, v'ois mem cholo es cholyoi mera. Mira yos mar a vechein betilas yukumpurkin me roin bishin chaloyim roim. It means illnesses. So it does not mean what he's saying over here is the word mira does not, it means an illness. Does not mean that he is ill. Let's go back and see what he's saying over here. He's saying something very important. Mira. So he says he was a choyle. He was a sick. B'mokom shekasov shchiv meira. Ein perish meira. Oh no, he's saying something different. B'mokom shekasov shchiv meira. Ein perish meira machmas choyli. Okay, so he's coming over here to give us a very powerful, he's telling, teaching us a lesson. Not a lesson here, but a lesson in the Gemara. Since here, in this pasuk, it says the word choyle, and we translate the word choyle to mean meira, that means, the word mirah means he is ill. However, in the Talmud, when we have the term a shechiv mirah, the word mirah there does not mean a choyle. The word shechiv means he's a choyle. So what does the word mean mirah in the Talmud? There it means from a disease. So he's just teaching us some very powerful, some important vocabulary. The word Mira, when it's used alone by itself, means a person, a human being who is ill. When you have the term shechiv meira, then the word shechiv means a person who is ill. And the word meira in that context means he is ill due to a disease. He's suffering from a disease, whatever that disease may be. And he explains, here it says just one word, mira chole. However, b'makom in the Gemara, where shekos of shchiv mira, ain perish mira machmas chole. It doesn't mean mira that he's sick because he is sick. Because he is sick. V'tiyeh ha'ois mem b'makom min. Because then in the Gemara be shchiv, he's lying in bed, mira, because of an illness. That's not what it means in the Gemara. The Targum Choyle Mira. Here we have, with a Shavav, who ois mem yisoy, it's part of the word itself. The mem is part of the shoyresh of the word itself. So thus, when it says in the Gemara, a shchiv Mira, it means, ein perish shchiv meira, he is shchiv, not mira, but he is sick from a disease. Okay, so I'm being a little bit vague here because I don't understand it myself, but basically he's telling us over here that the word mira is a complete word in and of itself, and the mem is part of the shoresh, and the word mira means a person who is ill, and the word, the mem, again, is part of the actual shoresh. Let's leave it with that. And then he goes on, he shows it from the Targum Yosef ben Uzili, it's a little bit different of a perush, which I'm not sure exactly what it means, so we're going to leave it with that because I want to go further. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk of the pasuk base. Vayaged liyakov. Okay, so here, I believe, is where Rashi got the word Echad min hamagidim. Since we started with the word Vayoymer liyosef, why did Rashi say Echad min hamagidim? Rashi was foreshadowing. Because since in the next pasuk it says Vayaged, Loshnot Hagodah. Haggadah is not the same thing as Amira. Haggadah connotes details. Lel Pesach, we recite the Haggadah. Haggadah, we go through all of the details. They did not just say to Yosef, Yosef, your father is not feeling well. They told Yosef his blood pressure. They told him his cholesterol numbers. They told him how much his oxygen level. They told him every single number on the charts, every single medication, every single event, play by play, Vayaged liYaakov. They gave him a very detailed report of his health condition. That's what it says. Vayaged l'shnagoda. Vayoymer. They must have a very sophisticated healthcare system in Egypt. If to tell you that a person is sick, it has to be expressed in the word Vayaged. It must mean there was a file. They gave his medical charts, which had a long list of medications and numbers to tell you exactly what's going on. Vayoymer. And then they said, Hine, behold, bin choyosef boilecha. Every time it says the word Hine means the unexpected, the unexpected. Yosef never came to visit. Never did Yosef come to visit in Chazat HaLoswai, because he would come to visit, it would be inevitable, they would get into a conversation about exactly what happened, and he might spill the beans and say Lashon Hara that his brothers sold him as a slave to Egypt. So he never came to visit his father. It was always long distance, social distancing. And now he made an exception. Hine bin cho yosef boilecha. You see this in Musa Haskel. In the hospitals today, now it's a little bit better, a drop better, but during the height of Corona, no one was allowed to go into the hospital. No one was allowed to enter the hospital. People died all alone. This is a terrible thing. And you see Yosef never ever visited his father. But when his father was dying, then he made an exception. That's the time to be present. At least then is the time to be present. Hine bincho Yosef boilecha v'yishazek Yisrael. He strengthened himself. V'yesham, he sat al hamita. He sat on the bed. Rashi. There is no Rashi over here, right? No, there is a Rashi. Rashi over here says, okay, Vayaged, Hamagid, Liyakov, Vloy Perish Mi, Bahari Mikros, Kitzri Loshon. Rashi is repeating himself in the previous pasuk. This is a Loshon called Sar. He's not telling us details. Vayishazek Yisrael Omar. What did Yaakov say? Af al pishu bini, he's my son. It's not derech eretz for a father to give honor to a son. Melechu, he's the king. Achalek le kavod, I will give him honor. By the way, this nusach is the nusach that we use to make a bracha when we see a head of state. No, this is not the nusach. We say shenosan mechvodoy lebosar vedam. Shenosan. What do you say when you see a Talmud Chacham? You don't say Shenosan, you say Shecholak. I think it says the word Shecholak. So over here, Rashi is crossing the line. Rashi over here is saying when it comes to Kovod, instead of saying of giving honor, we use what Achalek, which is something that you don't ordinarily say to a king. Ordinarily, you say to a king, you say to a king, your head of state, you say Shenosan Lichvod Lavos Vadam, and to Talmud Chacham, you say. Does anyone remember the bracha? To Talmud Chacham, you say a different nusach. You say Shecholak Mechochmosa. You cholak from your wisdom Lebosar Vadam. So those two words are mutually exclusive. You don't say to the middle of the word Shecholak. And you don't say to a Talmud Chacham Shenosan. Rashi here is violating what it says in the Siddur by crossing the line and taking the word Cholak and applying it to a king. Melechu, Achalek LeKavod. Shocking. What's going on here in this Rashi? Mikach, here we learn, Shecholkim Kavod LeMalchus. Shecholkim? Not Shecholkim. Shenoisnim Kavod LeMalchus. Shenosan Nechvoide LeBosav Adam. Not shecholkin to a chacham or cholek. We said Hashem was shecholak. He gave over a portion of wisdom to a human being. Okay, let's do it for now. V'chei Moshe zel bezach. Same violation of the words. Cholak kovel l'malchus v'yerdu chol avodecha ele elai. Moshe Rabbeinu said. Moshe said to Paro that v'yerdu chol avodecha all of your servants ele elai. Will come to me. So what's the indication that Moshe gave cover to him? The Yerduch of Dech Eilei, I don't know the past. Let's leave for now, because it's too long. The Chel Eliyo Vayishanis Mostav Eliyo went and he rang before Achav. Eliyo Hanav, he gave cover to Achav. He was the Melchizedek, he was a Rasha. He gave him covered by running before him. Let's take a look over here at the Targum before we run out of time. Targum, Pasik, what pasuk? Pasuk beis. V'chavil Yaakov. The word v'chavil means a dibur. This is a speech. Speech. And here we're using the translation of the word Haggadah. V'amar ha brach Yosef. Your son Yosef. Osei is coming to live to you. V'itakaf Yisrael. He strengthened himself. V'isef. He sat al arson the bed. Okay. I don't think there's any perish over here on the bottom of the page. Osei. Bo. No perish here. Next. But quickly. V'yomer Yaakov el. Now we have a whole long story here. Yaakov Yosef Kel Shakai near Lebeluz Beretz Kanan. Hashem appeared to me in Luz, name of a place. Beretz Kanan. There is no Rashi here. Okay, there's no Rashi in the Targum. Very quickly says, "Vamar Yaakov Yosef Kel Shakai Iskalili." He appeared in Beluz Be'arug Dekanan Uvorecha Yosi, and he blessed me. Now we go to the next page. Let me put on the next page. One moment, please. I have it over here. Just give me a second. How to do this? Gotta move everything out of the way. Stop share. Go over here to Chi. Okay, one moment, please. Okay, here it is. Vayomer. Vayomer Eli. He said to me, Hinani Mafricha Virbisicha. Okay, he said to me, Hinani, I will make you fruitful V'bisichav unesaticha lekalamim. I'll make you into an assembly of nations. Unesati asarit tazos lazarcha chanech achuz asolam. Let's see Rashi very quickly. Just run through one more pasuk. We're out of time. Unesaticha lekalamim. I'll make you into an assembly of nations. Bisrani. Hakadosh Baruch Hu made an announcement. Besoyrois toivais. We're always looking for good tidings. Bisrani. Hashem announced to me. Sha'asidim latseis mimeni. Oid kehal va'amin. It is destined to come from me. I'm not finished. I'm going to have more children. A kehal, an assembly of amim. V'yaf apish ash amali goy ukehal goyim. Goy omar li al binyamin. Even though Hashem said to me before, the pasuk actually says the word goy. Let's read the words of the year. Goy. Avsh amali goy ukehal goyim. Goy omar li al binyamin. Kehal goyim hare shnayim. A kahal goyim is double. Levad mi binyamin. V'shuv le'noylar libein. So what does that mean? Lamadnu she'osid echad mishvotai lecholek. The ato and now oisa matona ani noisein lecha. This is a very beautiful Rashi telling us a lot of principles. You say this in Yadus. Yaakov, you know, on his way back home, Hashem appeared to him, not on his way back home, sorry, he was still by Lavan. Hashem appeared to Yaakov Avinu in the home of Lavan and said, Yaakov, it's time for you to go home. And after that, Yaakov called his wives and he spoke to them in the field and they said, yes, let's go. Now at that point in time, Yaakov Avinu and all of his children, with the exception of Binyamin, and when Hashem appeared to him in the home of Lavan and told him it's time to come, Hashem promised him it's going to be a goy, ukehal goyim. Now a goy is one person, one nation. Kehal goyim are two nations. Problem is, I only had one more child after Hashem blessed me. Hashem blessed me with a goy ukehal goyim, and I had Binyamin. So Binyamin is the fulfillment of goy. But what about the blessing of kehal goyim? So I have no other way to understand Hashem's words. It must then be that one of my pre-existing Shvatim is now going to be split into two. And it's my decision which one of my tribes should be split into two. Should I split Reuven into two? Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zul, Binyamin? Who gets split into two? Who's going to be the lucky child that's going to be split into two? It's my prerogative. It's my choice. It's my right. No one can tell me. I will make that decision, and whatever decision I make, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rubber stamp it. It's for me to make. And I'm now making that decision and giving this blessing to you. To you, Yosef, you're going to get this bracha. They're going to be split into two. And this is explosive. Why is it explosive? Because it would seem that if Yaakov Avinu said this, we could assume that all of the 12 children knew this. And this was going to be the bracha that Yaakov would give to one of the children. And certainly they were all lobbying and politicking. Yaakov, I want to be the one to get that blessing. Just like Yitzchak was going to bless one of his two children, Yaakov or Esav, and no one knew who's going to get the blessing. Should the blessing go to Esav, or should the blessing go to Yaakov? And Rivka said, I want the blessing to go to Yaakov. And Yitzchak says, no, it's my decision. I want to give the blessing to Esav. And there was a war between Yitzchak and Rivka as who should get the blessing. And she won. She outsmarted. She went. She put all this whole thing. Here it's the same thing. History is repeating itself all over again. Yaakov has something very special to give away. And this blessing, no one knows who's going to get it. It can go to any one of the 12 Shvatim. And we don't find here anyone getting in the way and maneuvering that this child should get it and not this child. And you would imagine, maybe, you know, maybe that explains why when it was discovered that Yaakov, hinei avicha choleh, Yosef went running to Yaakov. Why? Because he knew now is the time that he's giving away the blessing. And if I don't get there very quickly, maybe one of my brothers, maybe Reuven will get there first, and he will get the blessing, that one that he will be divided into two, get a double portion. So Yosef went running to be there because he wanted to be the one that will receive this double blessing. So there's a lot of intrigue going on over here. There's a special gift. One moment, the Rashi will stop. Bisrani shasidim lotzim ben oid kahal v'amim, a kahal and amim. Even though Hashem said to me, goyim kahal goyim, goyim al ben yamin. Kahal goyim is going to be going on. Harei shnayim levad yamin v'ashuv loy nolali ben. L'manu she'asidecha mitzvot al l'cholik. V'ata, now, oysa matana ani noisin l'cha. That changes everything. That totally changes. Now you ask the question, isn't Yaakov Avinu repeating the same mistake? He favored Yosef by giving him the kesoynes pasim. He gave him the kesoynes pasim, favoritism. And now he's doing it all over again. He's showing him favoritism. Isn't this going to make all the brothers jealous? Our father, he gave you a kesoynes pasim. He taught you everything that he knows in Shem V'Aver. And now he's giving you the blessing you're going to get the blessing more than any one of us. Why you? We're just as good children to him as you are to him. Why you? Isn't this going to cause more jealousy and rivalry among the Shvatim against Yosef? This is a very big problem. We have to stop here. Thank you for learning with me. It means a lot to me. This shir, thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening. Mitzvah. See you tomorrow.
Today was also the yard signer of Reuven Dessler.
Oh, yeah. Reuven.